we're live!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 65 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. And now T-Rex, we just had this week, we had some finally the reveals. People have been waiting for the reveals. And what's your thought from Super 7 and on the four figures they showed?
There were four ass kickers, regardless of what some people were. If they were expecting something to the equivalent of Ram Man being reintroduced for the first time or something like that, that's addressing people who were quite bummed to see these four characters, which I
didn't see. Was there many people that weren't happy about
them? I don't think there was a whole lot, but I just can't help but feel like in previous reveals where the line was getting deeper and deeper and people were, you know, beating up, cats and dogs in the alleys and you know, rioting and breaking, TV stores and stealing stuff because, by God, this obscure character. All we got was more obscure characters.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really look, but I saw a couple. But, I was so happy with the reveals. I'd like to think that the general consensus is everybody's pretty damn happy with everybody we got. Because how could you not? Axel finally got one of his creations released. We finally got Lodar, which, we kind of expected that, which was good to finally see that. And he comes with the big chains, so you can put him in them. Everybody's mentioned Hawk for years, so now you can either display her as Delora or my favorite version of Hawk from Betrayal of Stratos, where she talks like bitch and, has a real deep rasp, or I don't know how you describe her voice. Linda Gary did it, but
good way to buy two figures, though, so now you can have both.
Yeah, it's worth it's worth getting two of those if you want, but I already only have one version I'm going to display of that.
Quick.
Man.
Quick.
Oh, yes. My brain just kind of was this big fart. So someone I've been waiting a long time to get was Quake.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew Quake would be, so awesome done by the Four Horsemen, and he looks amazing with his seismograph on his chest and his massive, stick holding the boulder there. And he's going to fit so perfect right here on my shelf of evil warriors and mutants. So
there you go.
Yeah.
And Fangor was, like you said, that was the one that Axel, that was his design that he did. And it's just great to have another Snake Man. So you look at everything that they're covering. I mean, we're getting somebody from the new era of mini comics and now a Snake Man. We're getting new adventures covered. We're getting the vintage mini comics, and we're getting Lodar, so another figure from Larry Houston, or a character from Larry Houston, so he gets to have his out there. And then we get Filmation. We get, like you said, Delora or Hawk, however you want to display her.
I just like this. This is great. I mean, how could really anybody be upset with what we got? I'm not emphasizing that people are. I'm just saying this was such a great reveal, and we got more reveals coming next month, at
sure. And that'll be New the York Filmation Sports lineup. Yeah, the Toy Fair, and that'll be the Filmation characters, correct?
Yeah, so hopefully, we'll get characters like Merman and Filmation, Triclops maybe, and maybe characters like Negator and Dark Dream and other Filmation one-shot villains and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll shock us with something that, we're not expecting. Of course, things we probably will expect, but others like, oh, man, I didn't expect that already. I'd still love to see a Dragoon pop up. I still think he's coming. I think we're going to get
I have high hopes. I mean, I'm quite convinced Super 7 has our best interest in getting someone like Dragoon. I'd like to think that's something that the Horseman would probably be pushing for because of his design and everything. And, I still hold out hopes that we'll get Azrock and Spider at some point there too. So
yeah, it'll probably be problems,
Uncle Montork and Driel. It's
no brainers. Those are no brainers. I mean, they could do so many of them. Sure, some of the other Trollins are smaller, some are bigger, but I could see if
they had to have Dragoon come with Driel. That's
there you go. You got the two DRs, the Dragoon and Driel. You got DR.
That are introduced in Dawn of Dragoon. You got them right there in one pack.
That's a cool two-pack. I'm glad you brought that up. We'll have to see that. Yeah. And then if we're lucky enough, maybe one time if they do Montork, maybe we'll get Gark or whatever his pet.
Or Azrog and Montork. Yes.
See,
yes.
You're pushing
him, people.
You're pushing for Azrog, but that'd be good. So hopefully
You know what we need to have is definitely, I'd say, a Filmation She-Ra character and include Comic Cat. in there.
I see here. You're trying to tug at my heartstrings. It ain't going to happen, but
well, that would I'm be just trying to say that, you know what, Super 7 is pulling the strings now, you know, and I'm like, I just don't see why they would ignore Meteors. I'm giving these people, I'm pulling a Joe Amato here. I'm being this polypractical and giving these people the benefit of the doubt that we could see a Meteor under the hands of these guys.
I could see it. I mean, really, I mean, with the amount of different things they're already releasing in so many different formats, I mean, I could see they could understand that their fans are out there.
Yeah, know and that the only faction that's been untouched,
right?
Yeah, you know, with classics. I mean, everything from the Golden Books, the mini comics, the movie, the vintage Filmation. You know, even you know, anti-attorney from the German audiobooks.
Right. Who would ever thought you'd see that?
You know, if you're going to sit there and deny, oh, no, that's the one thing that has not been represented, and they need to be represented finally.
Yeah, I could see it. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, hey, no problem. But I'm sure if anybody could do it, I think they could. So,
yeah.
But those are the reveals. Can't wait. They all look fantastic. Now, one of the topics we're going to talk about today, this was such a cool question. It was from. From a Masters of the Universe fan, Ryan Brooks. He brought up a question that is quite different. It wasn't the typical, hey, wouldn't it be cool to see a crossover of Transformers and Masters of the Universe? It wasn't like that. It was in a way I'd never even thought of. And then once he said it, my brain exploded with all these crazy ideas. He said, what if the Transformers landed on Eternia? Meaning, okay, if they land on Eternia, what vehicles, what objects would they then inhabit and become? And I was like, oh man, why did you do this? Because you know the thing is, like, you know, when you went to the store, you remember when Star Wars had that crossover with the Transformers and you seen things that could turn into Darth Vader?
I'm sorry, that didn't excite me, Joe.
Well, for me,
seeing Darth Vader turn into something, no.
Listen,
no.
Shut it. Listen, so for me,
you're making the worst possible example. Why don't
hold
you
on,
ruin
I'm getting
a Splinter turning into the party line.
Listen, I'm getting somewhere. What I mean is, when I seen it, right
you're
when I was
more fast, that's where you're getting.
That's it. You're gonna get a kick right in the. But I'm watching myself. All right. So, anyways,
I'm getting a good ass kicking here, Joe. I'll be very honest with you.
Listen, when I seen it, my mind immediately exploded because I'm thinking, "Dang, why couldn't we ever get stuff like this with a crossover with He-Man transforming and stuff and like their vehicles?" But then, of course,
we got Meteor.
Yeah, there you go. But I was like, of course, these are two different companies. It'll never happen. But when he brought up this question, then you can go ahead and you can have fun. You can go with it. I'm thinking, all right, let's think about this. And like, you know, like in aspects to the cartoon or even the vehicles. I'm picturing you got a Tat Track in the cartoon, which is the pretty big vehicle. He's red. He's got blue elements. I was like, could Optimus Prime have been inhabited? Would he become a Tat Track? And a Tat Track be Optimus Prime? And what would they look like for robots? I mean, what were some things that started to spin in your head? This was one of the coolest questions I've heard in a long time.
I'm going to throw that. I'm going right for my haymaker here. My knockout punch with this one here is having Faker be Soundwave. And with the tape recorder aspect, he protects a Ravage type Panther and his screech like Laserbeak. Out of
how?
His
oh so, my God, that's cool as heck.
I was like that. I like crossing over like that. I'm like, and then Roboto would have to be like. I just feel like Roboto and Faker, two robots. That's got to be Blaster, and Faker's got to be Soundwave.
Okay,
and not that I'm saying Roboto could really eject stuff, but with that tape recorder on Faker, I'm thinking Panther and Screech would come out of his chest like Laserbeak and Ravage. Man, that's pretty cool.
And they're the only two, like you said, I guess, as for characters, people that would pass as Transformers since they're robots. Because otherwise,
yeah,
we were thinking about all the vehicles.
The two, you know, forgive me, Transformers fans. I know they're in the movie where they pop out of his chest. And they're probably in other episodes, too, where they have, like, little jackhammer. Their hands turn into jackhammers and can, you know, knock people over. The two small, wisecracking guys that pop out of his chest. But I just think Panther and Ravage popping and Laserbeak, Screech! Screech and Panther popping out of a Soundwave type Faker could really work, and you really don't need to get any deeper than that, you know.
Exactly. Then you would have to get into the other vehicles, like a Landshark. Who would be Landshark? What do you envision as Landshark? What do you as Rotan and the Collector? I mean, this stuff was just, like I said, it was a mind explosion of who would be any of them.
Gosh, man, I'd like, yeah.
Do you think Megatron would have to be something like maybe Collector, or do you think he'd have to be Rotom?
Well, I
Or
mean, Megatron, I just feel like I don't know if he could turn into a gun. Like, I don't like picturing him turning into Skeletor's Havoc Staff. I'm like, no,
no.
maybe because he, like, even though everyone loves Megatron turning into the pistol, like Generation 2, he turns into a tank. So it's like, why not have Megatron turn into Rotom or Land Shark, a more prominent vehicle that Skeletor would use, and have like Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp turn into the Collector, Rotom, and the Basher. Or no, wait, the Doombuster, the Collector, and the Basher. The three like big elite flying vehicles that carry multiple people. That would be the three airplanes, where. And then Rotom, maybe Shockwave or something like that, because Rotom does have two big pistols on him, and a Shockwave has got like, he's got a, I don't know. I'm just spitballing ideas at this
No, it
point.
is, because it's just nuts, because like I said, just envisioning then, and envisioning like when these vehicles would transform, like you said, of whatever their counterpart could be, like let's say hypothetically Road Ripper, he'd be Blurb. Do you know how quick Blurb is? And you know how one of the versions of the Road Ripper vehicle was blue in another country? It's like, hey, then it worked like that. What if he's green? But then like Wind Raider, could that be a version of Bumblebee, or what would be Bumblebee? And then picture the Wind Raider. You know, when it transforms, picture the Wind Raider when it transforms in, and then his grappling hook would be some kind of like laser rope that he could use. I mean, I was just, it makes you wonder what would happen if they could become Transformers into figures then, and what were their gimmicks, and what would, oh man, it was just too much because there's so many of them.
Yeah, I'd love to see someone like Jazz. I was thinking about this too. Jazz turning into the well, let me just kind of browse around here briefly.
Oh, you got Transformers up there?
I've got a couple of vehicles up there, but I don't know. Or Jazz could be, because Jazz is kind of like maybe Jazz could turn into like the toy version of the Attack Track or the Battle Ram.
Okay.
Not that it's kind of like a fits his personality. And I'm thinking cartoon Jazz, not the movie Jazz, where he's like, this is a good place to kick it, man. Not that. I'm talking Scatman Crothers Jazz, the good Jazz.
Okay.
Can I throw a different idea at you?
Go ahead,
Yeah.
because the one thing we
What
did avoid
was I
was.
saying? What if Optimus Prime became a robotic version of Battle Cat and Megatron became a robotic version of Panther?
Well, see, that's what's weird. That's something that me and Tyler were almost going to get to also, was we were going to avoid them becoming the actual characters themselves. Like, anybody becoming like He-Man or anybody becoming Battlecat. I mean, I like that. That's cool. But I
Well,
was just
if they
envisioning.
did a toy line similar to what Joe was talking about, I could see that being the case, where Battle Cat would be Optimus and Megatron would be Panther. I could see that if they were doing like a probably a heavy toy line inspired.
I was just, yeah, I mean, no, really, and that would be cool too. It's just, I guess I was envisioning, like I said, it's extra stuff, like an addition to Masters of the Universe. Like I said, the Transformers come here now taking over their vehicles. So it's like, Optimus Prime as the Attack Track and whoever as the Wind Raider. Because what's weird is if we would have did things like people as vehicles.
Laser Bolt would be Jazz. That's it.
Oh, okay. I
The
like that.
Laser Bolt is like a fast terrain vehicle and then pops right up. I don't know. I guess, because the commercial projects like Laser Bolt is this fast vehicle. I can see Jazz. With Laser Bolt and Jazz. Yeah, that just yeah that worked. That worked for me at least.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. Like I said, I would just love toys. If there was ever a dream mashup between both of those companies and to produce toys, I mean, like I said, I think it would be absolutely amazing. And if there was like some of the no-brainers, like when you think of the Wind Raiders color scheme, like if they would do vehicles to be people or characters, obviously Man-at-Arms with the orange and yellow, if they would do it in aspect, that aspect, I can see Man-at-Arms is like the Wind Raider because of the colors. Don't you look around? What are you looking for now? You're
Look
looking
at
for
other
this.
vehicles here while you're rambling on about your character turning into a Transformer monotonous
Well,
idea.
shut up. That was if we would do the people thing. But
I'm
otherwise.
doing the people thing. I'm doing the vehicles,
Okay, but back to our vehicles. I know. Shut up. So now listen. Now you got to think of the Attorney of Playset. That could be like Omega Supreme. Picture the gigantic Attorney of Playset, then transform it into some super humongous, gigantic Transformer. That would. Oh, and the other ones. I mean, the obvious no-brainer.
or no, Attorney could be Fortress Maximus.
Or Fortress, okay, yeah, Fortress Maximus, yeah. I think that's even what Ryan suggested when he had the question. That might have been it. So, and The other no-brainers are the
And then you had the dinosaurs becoming Dinobots.
You just stole it. I just said the pretend. You took it away from me. You took it. You stole it. That's all. I was so there.
We have an evil Grimlock. What's the name? Is the Triceratops? The Dinobots. I remember their names, and then now I've completely drawn a blank. I hate saying that because Grimlock's the one I always remember. So forgive me, Transformers fans. But I can just picture, you know, Bionatops and Turbodactyl, since both of those dinosaurs are represented in the Dinobots faction. So that would work too. And of course, Gigantosaur, being a giant Transformer, you know, yeah. And there's a Brontosaurus represented in the Dinobots too.
Yep. The one things I couldn't really think of when I was trying to envision other things was thinking of Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain, like, to be giant Transformers. I was like, but what would they be from the Transformers side of the world? What could they have been? Is there anything they could have been? Could you even envision them as anything? And Dirt, if you had any suggestions.
I don't really, like, I'm not really, like, I guess I don't feel the need to kind of make sure every, like, place that is some sort of represented as a Transformer, like the Fright Zone or, Castle Grayskull. Snake Mountain. I envision, you know, like the Autobots landing near Grayskull, Decepticons landing somewhere underneath Snake Mountain, you know, something like that. I just
we're just using them as their layers, if you will, or
yeah, yeah,
they can be around.
That's where they, you know, they have their hidden until they come out and about, and then the evil warriors see them and stuff like that. You know, at least that's how I would envision it. Not necessarily turning everything into a Transformer, because then I feel like, ah, come on, now we're just a bad product placement, you know, fiasco here.
So my suggestion, obviously, of Darth Vader, just it fell on deaf ears with you. You said
I didn't like seeing those things, and the storm, like, you even did. As a kid, I'm like, I wouldn't want this.
But it didn't get your head spinning about Masters. That's what happened with me immediately, was picturing He-Man vehicles, then transforming into stuff.
I don't happen with you? I don't immediately think, you know, crossing stuff. I mean, Thundercats has really been the biggest one, I think, crossing over with He-Man instantly, you know. And of course, Bravestar and Blackstar, and you know, the immediate ones, you know. Yeah, you can almost find a ways of tying in everybody. Not that I would want to see like Power Rangers and He-Man teaming up or something like that, but
I think I like this question just because it wasn't the typical question, you know, because people have always said, wouldn't it be fun to have a crossover with He-Man and the, you know, the Masters and the Autobots, then, you know, going against the Decepticons and the Evil Warriors. And yeah, we've heard those,
I mean,
kind of.
It would be bad. I mean, I've always enjoyed the
Transformers. But we've heard it, though. We've heard
it. But it's not something it would be my number one priority. My number one priority is to see a legitimately good Thundercats He-Man crossover before I'd ever see Transformers and He-Man. But I mean, it could work. I know I said before it's not something I would want to see, but in hindsight, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, still seeing like the Sky Sled, you know, turning into a smaller Transformers of some kind like that, or the Blaster.
Two of them separate. Yeah, you could picture them separating because the Sky Sled from, you know, the Battle Ram part, and they separate and they both turn into type of Transformer. One using the
Jet Sled is what I meant to say, not Sky Sled, but Sky Sled too.
Oh, okay, I got you. But yeah, so there's multiple ones. So that's why I like that question from Ryan, because it's something I've never heard. I've always heard the crossover of teaming up, but never the aspect of what happened if they would have landed on Eternia instead of Earth. What could it have been like? That was a pretty cool freaking question.
Yeah, here's another one to throw out there. I just thought, like, how the heck could I get the Constructicons? Like, maybe having a couple of Horde represented Transformers merged together to form Monstroid rising out of the ocean, you know, because Monstroid, you get a picture as being this Leviathan machine that the Horde runs, and I'm like, because I love the Constructicons and Devastator, and having them merged together kind of form a Devastator type.
Hey, what about, well, think about that. Think of some of the robots from the Horde. I mean, if you think of the Horde troopers and anything else, maybe a whole bunch of them, different types of Horde troopers and different colors all coming together to make a giant Monstroid or something.
Yeah.
That could be kind of a way to use the Horde troopers.
Yeah, along those lines, you know, Mantisaur could be, you know, represents, he's a robotic, you know, insectoid steed. You know, that's easily represented as a Transformer. So the Horde has a lot of options with that too, especially like with their Batmechs and
I forgot about those. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's tons of options with that.
Your boy Dial-A-Mug could be something.
No. I don't want to see the Transformers pulling the whole Darth Vader thing and turning into the character. No. Well,
wait, but he's a robot.
Otto and Dial-A-Mug. I mean, and Faker, but you know, it's
he's a robot. Dial-A-Mug is a type of robot creature, though, isn't he?
I know he's a robot.
He's like, I know this. He's like, don't pick on Dial-A-Mug.
You know, I just. I feel like the gimmick with Faker, because the tape recorder works well with Soundwave.
It's a perfect gimmick, yeah.
And the opposing Roboto is Blaster, because you know, he's got the gears inside. Well, it's not necessarily a boombox thing, but...
I know what you mean, though. Yeah.
But, I don't know. I have a hard time buying Dial-A-Mug becoming a Transformer, too.
Yeah, all right. I tried to throw it at you, but I forgot you love your Dial-A-Mug. It's like, don't you offend it. It's well, like somebody
Faker the medium. Roboto, and I don't take it as offense. I'm just saying I have a hard time picturing... give me a random Decepticon I haven't named yet.
Have you said Starscream? Oh yeah, you said Starscream
already. Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywar. Oh, Cyclonus or Scourge, you know, or one of the Insecticons. Insecticons have become Mantisaur. Yeah,
that's like a perfect one. Yeah,
yeah.
You know. You say Cyclonus, so that's the one thing I always hear. It's when some people will call Cyclonus for Masters. But Dirt, what do you have to say? It sounds like you want to say something.
Well, what was Skeletor's planet thing on New Adventures?
Oh, Nordor.
That's Unicron.
Hey, yeah. I guess that could be a no-brainer. Good one. Look at Dirt.
Yeah, I like that. And Starship Eternity could be Omega Supreme or something like that too. You know, another large. Transfer or make that Fortress Maximus and do Omega Supreme is Eternity. You can flip flop those, but definitely Unicron is Nordor.
I like that. Yeah, good one, Dirt. That's pretty good. And it's definitely a way of incorporating to make a
a good one. The New Adventures vehicles, I mean, that works so well for Transfer, like the Astra Sub, the Terror Claw, the Bola Jet, the Doomcopter. You know, it just, I mean, there's that works so well with New Adventures, man. Doug.
That
was brilliant bringing that up.
I get one every once in a while. I think that's my one for this month.
That's his Spider-Man one where he's like, everybody gets just one. So that's his one. But no, I mean, yeah, I mean, even like back to the, you know, Master side, I mean, you have the Fright Fighter, you have Blaster Hawk, you have all those vehicles that can be some, you know, become something too. Because I mean, they had just, there's a ton of vehicles. Spider becomes some gigantic, you know, transformed Spider Warrior. So
Nightstalker and Stridor becoming, you know, Transformers. I mean, I could see that too. So they're robotic horses.
Yeah. They're like 3030s or something. No.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, kind of humanoid kind of characters or something like that. That
right.
That works.
Do you think that could? I mean, like I said,
Bashasaurus. There's another one for
Bashasaurus. Exactly. And when he transforms, his arm is that gigantic, you know, ball itself that he just.
Yeah, like one right arm is the big battering ram ball, you know, or the wrecking ball? Excuse me.
And we'll keep that in mind for in a little bit about a big giant right hand. Just keep that in mind for a little bit later. But but we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, so in a dream world, you know, I'll ask, and I'm going to ask Tyler and Dirt, do you think that if fans could demand, and if there was some magical, you know, way something could happen, do you think that could ever happen, a crossover where the two, you know, companies that could come together, the ones that do Masters, the ones that do Transformers, could give fans that if they would fight enough for it? Is it probably nothing that the companies would ever want to do because it costs too much? Well, first, go ahead, Tyler, and then Dirt, I'd like to hear what you have to say, too.
Wait a second. You just contradicted yourself here by saying, in a dream, what if they work together? But what, you know, like, no.
In my dream world, I'd love it. That's what I mean. It's a dream world. I'd love for it to happen. Can it happen? I don't know. But I mean, is that something you think could happen, I guess?
No, not ever. No.
Well, that was quick. All right.
Hasbro and Mattel are absolute competitors. And frankly, I think Hasbro's doing better than Mattel with their products. So, I mean, well. Neither one of them are doing great because I don't think they're really putting out a whole lot that's, you know, I mean, I'm not really collecting much. And Mattel's
doing... I think it would be a fun revitalizing for almost both of them because it's something you would never expect. I mean, like you said, I mean, sure, I doubt it could ever happen, but if it would, I think that could be one heck of a surge for sales just for fans to see that. I think it's because it's something you'd never expect. I mean, like you said, the chances of it happening are, yes, obviously really, really slim, but if it happened, I think it'd be damn cool.
Well, if Marvel and DC could work together on brief crossovers and the big Marvel versus DC thing, I mean, if they could work together a couple times, anything's possible, but I just see these two companies being so stingy with each other that they would never want to give anybody a benefit over them.
All right. Derek, what you think?
I think Tyler is right as far as toys go. You would never be able to do a crossover toy line simply because neither one would want to give up the control and the profits to the other one. Like, but even if there was a profit sharing, they would still, each one would want to control the, you know, the supply and the production and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So sure. As far as having toys, no. But as far as doing something like, say, comics, DC has the license for Masters of the Universe. IDW has the license for Transformers. But DC and IDW actually have a working relationship, and they've done a couple crossovers with Star Trek. Star Trek and Green Lantern have done a couple crossovers in the comics. So DC and IDW are definitely open to working together and to bringing their licensed properties together. So if they could just, you know, come up with the correct wordage in a contract to get the two licenses to go head-to-head in a comic, then, yeah, obviously it could happen. There's the groundwork for it. It's all the right people are in the right place. I'd say you've got maybe a 65-70% chance that people can start writing letters and get the gears going and have it going as far as a comic goes.
It'd be fun. Yeah, and that would be fun. Like I said, I would enjoy a comic, and it would be just like I said, it would be nice if in a perfect world, if that comic did well enough and they thought, hey, they actually tried a deal with the toys and thought of something fun for a limited run, it'd be great. Like I said, it'll happen. Not sure, but I'd like to picture it because, like I said, the thought of all these transforming Masters vehicles just was something I always would like to have seen.
It would be cool to see, you know, an army of sky sleds and various vehicles, you know, fighting, you know, a version of Devastator, you know, like I mean, just this massive team up of characters, you know, trying to take down Devastator, you know, because he's obviously so much bigger than the other Transformers. But it has potential. But I'm telling you, the odds of it landing in writers who are just, you know, not gonna, you know, piss all over it and decided they're gonna recreate history by come up with their own crap instead of taking elements and using proper dialogue and a story that doesn't make you want to pull your hair out and kick yourself and punch yourself in the nuts. You know, all these crossovers have been, they could all be classics. They could all be bestsellers flying off the shelf. You're printing money with proper crossovers if they really wanted to do it properly. But, you know, it's what do fans know? What you know, fans aren't a big deal. It's like we're actually, you know, supporting comic books and keeping the industry alive. Who needs us? It's not like we're keeping Transformers and He-Man alive and G.I. Joe and Turtles and Thundercats. I mean, we're just here, you know, mindless meat with eyes, having no sensibility, no rhyme or reason. We just kind of walk around, bump against stuff. We're like lava lamps. We're like the stuff in lava lamps. We're just,
I have never heard somebody with so many different analogies and things that my mind explodes every time you talk. I'm like, wow. I was waiting for the technical difficulties to come up. But no, but like I said, it'd be great. It would be nice. Will it happen? I don't know. But yes, I'd like a crossover comic and I'd like toys. So that, thank you, Ryan Brooks, for that question. Because
thank you. That was a much enjoyed one. And I hope fans that listen to this can throw out more ideas and give it their thoughts on what they'd like to see, you know, what could work. Because I'm sure there's fans who definitely know Transformers a lot better and deeper.
Oh, sure.
Than we
I am not as well-versed in the knowledge of Transformers at all. I admit that.
Especially Generation 1. I like the cartoon. I like the toys. I don't own any of the toys because they're just too expensive. And I feel like I have to have a PhD to transform them, for crying out loud. So,
yeah. So
it made me feel like a dumb kid because I was intimidated by Transformers as a kid. Like, as much as, you know, it would have been cool to have one, I just felt like the idea of having to work to play with my action figures was no fun.
So that's why you never even got the Meteorbs. But all right. Well, thank you very much.
Those things. Had I seen those on the shelves at my local Hills, I would have bought them.
And that's where I got mine, was Hills. And they were $3.99 each. And I still have the top little tabs of them with the price tag on it. I think they're even by me. But
if other people got a lot of He-Man toys at Hill's Department Store, because that was my pinnacle of buying He-Man toys, you know, was at Hill's Department Store. So if people are listening to this in the States, shopped at Hill's in the 80s and in early 90s, you know, and you picked up some He-Man toys, New Adventures or the Vintage line, I'd like to hear what people, their memories of Hill's and getting He-Man toys.
Exactly.
And a nice seat and a bag of popcorn on your way out the door.
There you go. This is, like I said, I always kept every one of the tops of them, and I don't know if you can see the... Well,
hold on, close. Don't move it around. Down. Move it down. Down.
How much really?
There's the Hills logo.
Does it say $3.97 or whatever? Do you see the price?
You keep moving it around like you got the jitters.
I'm sorry. Hold on. There we go.
Go with DTs.
There you go. Shut up your ugly lap. $3.97. So there you go. Like I said, I always kept the tops of all these things. But yeah, that's where I got it. So again, that was a great topic, great discussion. And now we will go into an episode of the MYP cartoon. And I'll let you start it off. Web of Evil. Go ahead, Tyler.
It sucked, man. It sucked.
It sucked? Are you crazy? Why would you say it sucked?
When I was rewatching, I just said out loud, not thinking, like, this episode sucks, man.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking.
Why would you think it was terrible?
And why are you insisting on 2 weeks straight of making sure we're talking about nothing but garbage?
What was that?
You've take massive spoonfuls and force feed me that ridiculous issue 4 crossover. And now we're picking one of the most forgettable and just piss poor episodes of MYP. Joe just is an adult and enjoys, you know, just, you know, doing this kind of mindless torture to me, which is why he's not showing his face, because he's got the real big, you know, Steve Martin smile underneath his mask. And he's enjoying it too much, you know. It's like a hope to God next week we have, you know, conversation that's has me floating amongst the clouds, you know, and such, you know, not dwelling in a pit of despair over bad eggs.
Wow, I've just been kicked in the nuts for 2 minutes straight. We had technical difficulties.
This episode was bad, and you know that it was. So don't sit there and tell me that Miss Polly Practical found good elements here.
Especially.
Episode. You know, because I'm not going to explain it with dignity. I'm going to tear it apart if I explain it. So I'm going to have a sip drink of Crystal Light here, you know, so you explain it to the listeners.
Okay, I mean, well, it starts off. I mean, they showed some of the Andrenids, and they're protecting the Ambrosia. And suddenly, you know, Webstore shows up. But I always love seeing Webstore, no matter what, anytime he'd pop up in the cartoon, because you rarely got to see him. So he shows up, knocks the one out the way, but then he shoves his fist in there, and he starts eating like I do, just like crazy. He's shoving in that ambrosia, and he turns into that gigantic super spider. I mean, you can't tell me you didn't think that was cool when you seen the Super Web Store at all. You didn't like Super Web Store?
No.
Oh, God, you're nuts. And then he had those eggs that he had, because they're wondering, how could Web Store have had eggs?
I don't like the idea the Master of Escape can start laying eggs like the Alien Queen, because he's eating, you know, honey.
It's altered, and it's changed. It's changed his body structure, his DNA, everything.
I'm not for this idea that if you eat this magic honey, that Skeletor, which I thought at the time, I'm like, this is the way of using the battle armor or battle sound Skeletor armor, but just anybody can do it. And, you know, you get spice growing out of your body from eating this honey. You know,
it's a fantasy world. Things happen. These are things.
No, but it seems too silly. I mean, it's just like, just because it's fantasy doesn't mean that you can get away with anything.
Well, that's why it's special. That's why it's something different. It's only supposed to be made for the Andrenids, because they're the only...
No. Because the minute Web Store eats it, nothing happens to the Snake Man except they just get stronger. You're not working with this here. You're not maintaining consistency here. If Web Store turns into Mohawk, or what's his name? The version of the Gremlin in Gremlins 2 that develops the spider legs. What's his name?
Right.
It's not Mohawk. That was the leader of the first batch of Gremlins.
Are you thinking of Stripe? No, Stripe was the leader of the first one.
Right. Well, maybe it is. It was not Mohawk. What is his name?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't even know.
He's trading cards of that movie as a kid. It's like I knew Lenny and George and
I didn't remember part two that well. Well, or part two did not stick in my head that much. So I'm sorry.
Explain a lot about you.
All right. Well, let's.
So anyway.
All right. I don't even know what's happening anymore. But anyways, so Yes, you're right. When the Snake Men ate it at the end, yeah, and of course, yeah, they become stronger. I know it kind of contradicts because they said once you eat it, you know, it makes you strong, but then the after effects will make you weak or whatever. Whatever. But I know that the reason it was able to make WebSor even stronger is he has similar structures, they said, to
I know that, but it just feels so over the top, you know? That's not the WebSor that I want to see. I want to see the WebSor that would, you know, cling to walls and do backflips and kick people and, you know, and swinging around and, you know, not really turning into a spider creature. I just, you know, and then laying eggs and stuff like that. I feel like, oh, God. But to its credit, when I first saw it, that wasn't the part that bothered me the most about that episode. Looking
we're
back,
we're going to get to it. I know we're going to get to what you probably really hated in the episode, which
I, for people who do enjoyed this version of WebSor, I'm going to back off because at the time I saw it, it didn't bother me. There were other stuff about the episode that bothered me, so I'm going to back off WebSor because, look, I love WebSor. I got a Men on card over here. I've loved WebSor as a kid. People who know I love Disappearing Dragons is one of the reasons because of him. I love WebSor. I liked him in 2000X. I loved his redesign. So I'm covering my grounds here because my real hate goes towards some other things in this episode. Not
necessarily. All right. Well, like I said, I liked WebSor in all his forms. I really enjoyed, like I said, how he was just redesigned in general. But when he became the big giant one, I got a kick out of it. I like those little crazy little baby spiders, you know, whatever. But there's one thing that I got excited to see in this episode. We finally got to see Fisto. I was like, all right, so cool. And it was awesome. But one thing I didn't like, and you heard earlier when you were talking about Bashasaurus and a big punch, he now has, it's not just the fist that he has, that big metal fist. His like hand is already big and giant and like super big and deformed. I was like, huh? I was like, why do they have to do that? I didn't like that now Fisto has a big humanoid overgrown arm and fist. It looks funky. You know, I know eventually, you know, because later in the episode, he bashes into something to save He-Man, all the masters that are trapped underneath some rock. And then he collapses. And of course, you know, his, oh God, we'll get to that too about who Man at Arms is to him. But in the next episode, he gives him a new metal fist. I just enhance it. But I was like, why do we need a backstory? Why couldn't he just have the fist? But that's the reason, because then you'd never get the whole thing about, here we go, let's make him a new fist. And you find out that Man at Arms and Fisto are brothers. And I didn't really flip over that. Your thoughts, go ahead, because I know you want to rant on Fisto. I love seeing him. I just didn't like the big humanoid hand. I don't know.
I hated his voice. I felt I've heard that particular voice in other cartoons. I'm like, I don't picture that kind of voice coming out of Fisto. So I hated his voice. Still hate it with a passion. I don't like his voice. The guy that does his voice, I don't like it. Bad choice for Fisto.
Now, is it because you liked the Filmation voice, or you mean just in general? You didn't like
just
the
in general, you know? Okay. I could see people arguing that Fisto, why would Fisto have like this big, deep, echoey voice, even though it sounds awesome? But that's just not, it had nothing to do with Filmation. I feel like a lot of times in cartoons, they would just pick the most basic generic voice actor that you've heard in thousands of cartoons, from Disney cartoons and Nickelodeon cartoons to a couple of various action animated series and stuff like that. Well, he's Mr. Generic. Make him, you know, do the voice. It just didn't fit, you know. I think that same voice actor played Duke in G.I. Joe Resolute. And okay. I was like, this just doesn't fit. So I did not like that. And I hated the idea that instead of Fisto just being a strong warrior who, you know, if you're going to have to explain why he's got a big metal fist, which is one of the things I don't like about people deciding, I'm going to tell the backstory about how Fisto got his big fist, guy. It's just like, people will love me, and they'll write me fan letters, and they'll be wanting me to kiss their babies, and they'll give me the key to the city, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. But if you're going to do it, you know, have Fisto just be a really strong guy and out of intense adrenaline rush, realizing that the heroic warriors, I'm not going to call them the masters.
I will. I'm not
going to do it.
I will.
So anyway, if you're going to have, you know, if you're going to go this way, you know, really show the idea that Fisto has blown out of his body and destroyed, you know, particularly his right fist, trying to get in there, or it got injured in the rubble. Not actually feel like the guy's going to go in there and start punching rocks like He-Man would.
Right.
You know, but have it severely injured to where it's like, okay, the guy's practically going to lose his right arm because he was trying to save us. You know, that's how you do it. And giving him this deformed right hand so people are like, hey, man, I bet you could really, you know, just making the Caligars and like he's starting fights with people because he's got skin thinner than Scott toilet paper, you know, or you don't have to say nothing to stir him up, you know, probably because he was drunk, you know, or something like that. But it's just so lazy and pointless and just I'd like to know which one of the staff writers, if it was the writer of that particular episode or somebody else on staff who decided, hey, let's make Fester's right hand really big. You know, and you know, it'd be great, and the fans would love it. And we'll call them Battlefish.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I think, yeah, you're right. In a way, I would have liked to have seen him try to, you know, fight. Like you said, if he's going to break that rock. And
it just feels like you're giving this guy way too much power, which is shown in another example of this episode. I'll get to that in a moment. It's like, look, we can't – I get so sick and tired of everyone is as strong as He-Man when the story, when they decide, well, let's just going to make – you know, this guy as strong as He-Man in this action scene. We're going to make this guy as strong as He-Man in this particular scene. And having a guy that if you're introducing this character to new fans, new people, new fans of the show, to have this guy's punching rocks with his right hand because, you know, he can. It just feels like, wouldn't it be better to have this guy practically on the brink of losing his right arm because he was digging through the rubble, a massive boulder came down and crushed his right hand?
Yeah, like, you maybe know. He could have struggled. See, I know you're right. They wanted to try to make a cool way of him coming in, and then...
That's not the way to do it. If you're going to call him, like, hey, handsome, as a reference to, like, the concept character that never came to fruition, maybe I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. They reference the concept character because it's a big right hand or something like that. But even then, it's just it just feels so unneeded and unwanted to go down.
Because if there was a different... You're right. If there was a different...
Hey, look, everybody. Look at his big right hand. You see?
Yeah, if they could have found...
You get it? Do you get it? And then you feel like they're grabbing you by the shirt. Do you get it? Do you see where we're going with this here, people?
Yeah, because I think, like you said, if they would have found a different way to make him get the metal hand, because, you know, the big metal hand is what was special. So now he's got not... Only does he start off with a big hand, but then it eventually becomes the metal hand. It's like, if there was another way, he could have just a regular-sized hand like anybody else, and through another way, lost his hand, or it was so badly injured, then they decided to give him a big fist. But I just felt like it was too much. It took away the special feature and what we knew of from the big fist, because like, oh, okay, he's now gone from big fist to a big metal fist. It's like, yay. It just, it didn't seem like it was enough. And I also didn't like, see, when they were going in there, it was Man-at-Arms, and I couldn't remember if Ram-Man or whoever else was with them when they went to that tavern. Oh, was it? Okay. And when they went to that tavern, and when he sees, you know, Fisto for the first time, and nobody knows that they're brothers. I just don't like that, again, they had to write him as a deserter. I mean, supposedly a deserter from the Great Unrest. And it just, I don't know, it was making the character who was always so, like you said, so badass, if you will, from the old days. And, you know, he was really a good guy, and you never looked down at him.
Some sort of redemption story for a character that we barely know anything about. But you have Man-at-Arms come in and be, you know, the jack of asses coming in and doing everything that you expect Man-at-Arms not to do, which is to come in and start running his mouth to somebody. You know, you're
I don't like it that they were making you dislike him. You know,
well, he's always written. There's nothing likable about this Man-at-Arms. You know, I know people have heard me kind of, you know, rag on Man-at-Arms just because it's how he's written, not the character. Because I don't expect this veteran, you know, warrior who, you know, invents weapons, who's definitely, you know, been around, who's fought many battles in his He-Man's most loyal friend, aside from Cringer and Orko. You know, I don't picture this guy as the Man-at-Arms, master of ball busting. You know, it's just like, what the hell is your problem, man? To just, yeah. You know, it just felt so unnecessary. And you just kind of feel like rolling your eyes. It's like, can someone douse Man-at-Arms in acid and just melt him to the bones?
Because yeah, that's like why people are wondering. Beastmaster,
come in and wrap him up and then digest him and he falls into bones. That's what I want done to him because he never shuts up.
Yeah, because he had an issue, as you see. He had an issue with Fisto. Man-at-Arms or Duncan had an issue with Fisto. He believes he was a deserter from the Great Unrest. So he's already has this thing against him. Of course, that's not the case when you find out later in the series and everything. But, yeah. So, you know, they're trying to, again, they're trying to stop what's going on because you see that the people from Andrinos and I think even Avion, like everybody's missing because they all went to go do something. But of course, Webstore, he webs all of them up. So they're all, almost all of them are all captured. And it finally gets the word out that, you know, even He-Man's having trouble fighting them. And when they go back to that tavern, of Of course, what's cracked me up is they were basically saying, you know, like, even He-Man's having trouble, you know, like Webstore or whatever whatever issue's going on. And so you see everybody running in the tavern. They're shutting windows. They're all being cowards and like, you know, closing the place up and they're scared. But then you see Fisto just bam, knock the doorway off. So it's like, okay, now you can let everybody in if they're wanting. But he goes to help. So he helps to kind of, if you will, yes, save the day when everything's being done. At the end, you see that all those babies and all those other eggs and everything. When they're going to then find Web Store, all the masters and stuff, as you love to call them, the masters, you see that the eggs and the babies are like all like they're devoured, or you see like remnants of them, and you see Web Store crawling in his big old, you know, transformed mode, if you will. And he said it was the Snake Men. The Snake Men popped up out of the ground, and I guess they ate the babies, they ate everything else. They're juiced up on ambrosia. So now what's the Snake Men gonna look like in the next episode? And then Web Store just, you know, collapses. But
And dies.
the
That's the great treatment we get away with. He dies in this episode due to, you know, either which yeah, I guess you assume that the snake man just what do? Give him a stern talking to?
question,
Or
because like
does he die due to all of his babies are dead? I just
now, did they officially say he died? Because you see him collapse, but you never seen him really
not
die.
in the episode, but in retrospect, that's the character that. And I forgot where it was officially stated, but what? Because I always thought Merman was going to be the one that died in Rise of the Snake Man Part One.
Right.
But he comes back to life. No, Webstor is the one that dies.
Was it said written somewhere, like you said, that
Like I
supposedly?
said, I remember reading that it was confirmed that, you know, that's the character that they were planning on, that's the one that was going to die. Because they said at the beginning of the season, someone is going to die in this season here. And I'm about 110% sure Webstor is the one that they killed off without sitting there saying he's dead.
Okay, that's what I meant, because I didn't know if, like you said, they're referencing when Merman died, but then, you know, got brought back to
Yeah,
life from
I
Skeletor.
thought that was what I thought that was a ballsy move to kill off one of the main evil warriors right there on the spot, you
Yeah.
know. But that's a story for another day. How
Oh, yeah, that'll be another, but no.
that two-parter made me.
Yeah, well, like I said, I do love the design of Webstore. I liked when he, you know, got jacked up and juiced up on his stuff. I love seeing Fisto. I hated seeing him with the gigantic arm. I wished it would have just been done a different way. The whole brother thing with him and Man-at-Arms being brothers, eh, it's like, again, does everybody have to be related in this world? Can we just have people be their own characters? Not everybody needs to be related. But I still enjoyed it just because I was seeing lots of characters and lots of things going on. And I know you just
Oh,
were.
what about the Spit Bull? Didn't you just love that wonderful toy?
Oh, wait, oh yeah, here. That's the funny thing about that. You know what I hated about the spitball in that scene when it's going through the tunnels? I mean, it's growling and rah, rah. I was like, it's
Yeah,
just
yeah.
a
And
big.
you know, did any if everybody is yelling at Jaws 4 for having Jaws, you know, roar like a dragon and that, was anyone calling foul at this robot roaring?
Yeah, it's like, why is he roaring? Oh, let's program the spitball to roar. It'll sound intimidating. Go. It's like, yeah, that was a little that was silly.
And
But
it just kind of says too, it just felt like there were some, not all, but the majority of the vehicles that were designed for the 2000X line lacked a lot of character and originality. You know, they looked very generic. You know, like I
yeah.
did like Skeletor's Battle Ram Chariot, you know, like that. But you know, when you look at the Spit Bull, it's just such a, you know, I get the name. But it just constantly just looks silly and it doesn't work. It just doesn't look feel like it fits as an overall cool concept of a giant bulldog that spits what's supposed to be slime. It's acid or not slime. Well, yeah, it's slime, not acid.
It holds him because that's what
Yeah,
he was
but
doing when
it's
he
just
shot at the
a dog
Snake
that grows
Man.
up spitting, you know, mucus wads or, you know, big loogies at people. I'm like, is this supposed to be for the kids? Are like, ha ha ha. Did you see, Tucker? That dog spit, you know, big goobers all over the snake, man. They've done it again. Yeah, that's
It
not anything that's as funny. This is stupid and it's obnoxious.
was. No, so while it had some, like you said, again, questionable moments, some things I liked, some I didn't. There was a couple other things because people say that there's never really lots of violence. And sure, I know you could say not blood, but another thing you've seen is in one part of the show, you see Tongue Lasher sticking out his tongue, and I think he's ready to hit like Ram Man from behind or get him. And then suddenly He-Man comes with his, you know, his little pincher on his arm and cuts off Tongue Lasher's tongue. It's like, you know, hey, it's like there was some kind of cutting of something to a character. You've seen a lot of those little mini spiders. While yes, they're not gigantic, they were getting smashed and gushed up. They were getting killed. They're living things. They're not robots. So they had things getting destroyed in the show and in front of your eyes. So there's little forms of violence for people said maybe there wasn't, you know, violence that they'd like to see. You kind of got something. I know it wasn't red blood. Not saying, oh, I want red blood in the episode. I want blood all the time. But you got some violent aspects, I think.
I think people really over, the people who are against, you know, no violence. Think of the children, Miss Lovejoy. You know, I think it's like people, I don't really think, when He-Man fans, they want to see violence. I really don't feel like they want to see spinal columns torn out. You know, Clawfolk digs his big right-hand claw into a Royal Guard stomach, tears it open, and strings out his intestinal region, whatever you want to call it. I don't think that's what people are saying they want to see. You know, you expect with swords and sorcery and barbarians and stuff like that, that you're going to see, as we said before, wounds, battle scars. And if someone right. loses a, you know, gets a hand cut off, you know, it like to make that like an origin for jitsu, like this great martial arts warrior gets his right hand cut off. You know, I think losing a hand, I'm like, are you telling me people are going to be writing in hate letters? And but my children saw this, and I'm pretending that they had nightmares because, you know, I'm super sensitive, Susie, and I have problems with everything, and now I'm going to have problems with your cartoon because you decided to give your cartoon balls, and I don't want it with balls. I want it to be light and fluffy and cotton candy and full of bubble gum and stuff like that.
Could you imagine if Jitsu, what if he would have popped up and it would have been just like Fisto, he would have just had a big gigantic hand like this for whatever reason. It's like, there you go. What a way to explain the two giant handed characters.
Yes, it's what a coincidence that two guys who are known for having giant massive metal fists all were born with disformed massive right hands and were susceptible to being picked on in school, having their books dumped, stuffed in their lockers, hung from the goalpost at school. And right. by God, they're going to have their day, man, when they lose their right hand and it gets a big metal hand. Here they come, you know, to backhand all the bullies and stuff.
There you go. You wrote a new origin. So, well.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that to be part of classic bios.
There you go. So I guess for me to, you know, wrap up that episode, if I was to give a rating out of 10, you know, 1 to 10, you know, with 10 being the best, I'd give it a 7 out of 10. I enjoyed it. Parts I didn't like, but I still thought it was pretty cool. I'm afraid to ask what you'd give it, but okay. What do you give out of 10?
There's worse in the series, but I give it a 2.
2? That low? Wow. Oh, you really did hate that episode.
I don't like what they did with Fisto. And here's another scene. Okay. It happens briefly in it, but it's one of those things where I feel like they overdo everybody's strength ability. And that scene where they've got the three snake men squeezed, Tongue Lashley, and Cobra Khan wrapped up in the mucus, you know, membranes, the big booger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he gets an arm loose and manages to smack Man-At-Arms all the way down in an entire cave and down into this big chasm. Like, why is everyone always so conveniently strong as He-Man? Even when they're fighting, a simple backhand is enough to send someone a half a mile down, you know, this way or up into the sky, and they fall down four levels. Like, it's like, come on, man.
Not only that, though.
Not Dragon Ball Z where everybody's as strong as the next guy or something
right.
like that.
Right, but not only that, what you're saying with the backhand and strength ability, but what you just said, how far he got knocked and flying around, it's like, how is it he even survived being hit that far? Landis, he doesn't have super strength. Man-At-Arms, if you fall like, you know, 8 feet off of something, you know, onto your back, you're probably going to have a problem. And he's flying, like you said, 100 feet and down stuff and smacking it. Oh, he's okay. It's just a scratch. Let me brush that off.
Yeah, it feels like as everybody is like gravity is not really an issue in the world of MYP Master Universe. Not saying this in every episode, but it happens too much to where I feel like it's a problem that when you're having fights that everybody's as strong as He-Man, and they shouldn't be. You know, people should not be able to knock He-Man, you know, unless it's one of the three giants, which I'm like, that worked fine in Council of Evil Part 2. But Clawful should not be able to, you know, smack He-Man a great distance away. Squeeze should not be able to knock Man-At-Arms a good mile away from the current fight. You know, I expect them to be strong, really big, tenacious villains. You know, yeah, they could smack the crap, beat the crap out of you right there on the spot, but to emphasize and animate somebody that can do the things that He-Man can, I feel like, well, it really, maybe this is just me overthinking it, but it really downplays the idea of how strong He-Man is when everyone else is doing what he's doing.
Oh, I understand. I mean, I guess I've out of the snake men of the ones that they showed there. I mean, to think of Squeeze, you know, with those big, gigantic, you know, python, you know, bolt restrictor arms, whatever.
That's where he should be grabbing Man-At-Arms and just crushing him to death, you know, the way what he's supposed to be doing. That's what I want to see Squeeze doing, you know, is using his hands to, you know, grab a hold of somebody, pull them in, and crush them and eat them. You know, yeah. Not, you know, be as strong as He-Man because it looks cool or whatever. You know, I just
Well, you gave it 2 out of 10.
No, because I have not watched the episode since it debuted back in 2003.
Well, watch it again, man. Give it another chance. I think you'll go up.
I just did. I did it for you today.
Oh, okay. It's still all right. Well, I guess it didn't knock it up any. All right.
Well. Yeah, there's a few episodes of MYP that I have not went back to go see because I'm quite sure if I go back and rewatch The Island, I'm not going to feel any different than when I did when I first saw it. Same thing with Ties That Bind, Siren Song.
Well, we'll keep The Island in mind for a future episode.
No, we're not doing that.
Like, we will not. We'll see. We'll see what's up.
We all know people. Joe will push the idea. Well, we really should do The Island, and then I have to, you know, inject myself with some sort of, you know, no doze or something like that. I got to take a bunch of non sleeping pills to alert myself because the idea of sitting and discussing something as piss poor as like The Island or.
Well, these rants you do, these tirades that you go on, they definitely keep you awake, keep you going. They cause technical difficulties.
This is two weeks straight of me being pissed off.
That's good, though, man. It's good for the blood, good for the body, the soul.
Yeah, it's like chicken soup for the soul, you know. You're talking about, you know, a part of the He-Man mythology that really pisses me off.
There you go. All right. Well, now you can not
so be... If people didn't like this episode and like, why are they talking about Web of Eight? Why aren't they talking about... You know, an episode like, I don't know, I mean, like Snake Pit or something like that. You can blame Joe. Send all your hate mail to Joe.
Sorry, guys. I know a lot of people won't like it. I enjoyed it. I know probably
are you kidding? I have no doubt people are not going to be trashing this episode like I did.
I think they might.
Did you listen to yourself? Doug was here. He heard what you had to say. If it was just you giving this preview of this episode, it would have come off as like, it was a pretty solid episode, guy. You know, I think I'm going to pop it in tonight, and I'm going to watch it and eat Cheetos and have a good time. And,
so you're mocking me. I see how it is.
I'm just saying that if, you know, you clearly paint a much more prettier picture of this episode, even with all of its flaws.
But it has good parts, too. There's good parts and bad parts. So give us a recommend. Hey. Before you go bananas, go ahead.
If there's anything good, it's the idea of seeing Squeeze and Tongue Lasher and Cobra Khan in the same episode. But I don't like Cobra Khan being a member of the Snake, man. He's a member of the Evil Warriors. So.
Oh, and that's what, the other cool thing, they kind of talked down to him because they were excited about eating fresh, you know, live meat. And, you know, they said, don't you indulge in this, Cobra Khan. And he's like, yes, I'm a snake.
Well, you know what? Look, if you're going to make Cobra Khan, you know, I just feel like.
Well, they talked down to him.
I don't like the idea of him being this kind of demeaning addition to the Snake Men. You know, I get why they're doing it because, you know, it's obviously
they pick on him. Like I said, they call him like a descendant. Like I said, you're a descendant or whatever. Like, they don't like
the first time we conquered Eternia. It's like, I get all that, but you know, I just, when you see Cobra Khan depicted in other forms, you just picture him as like, dude, this is a guy you don't want to mess with. This guy, if you approached him, he'd take you down, or he'd give you one good fight. You may win the fight, but you're going to work your ass off to beat him.
Wait, what's that? What's up, Dirt?
Maxworks in the YouTube chat room brings up a point talking about Squeeze in the 2002 cartoon didn't even have real hands. He had snake monster heads. Yeah. Is that worse than Jitsu and Fisto having giant hands?
No, I like the idea. That was a nice I like that. I mean, I love Squeeze is my favorite Snake Man in Vintage and in 2000X. I just love the character Squeeze. I was so glad that he was represented in MYP. It was great to see it. I like the idea of his hands becoming, you know, snake mouths. I like it was because I really felt like of all the Snake Men, that was only the kind of minor change that was given to any of them, other than their kind of initial design. And I liked it. I thought it looked good. I liked having the anaconda screaming, screeching voice that he has when he's getting ready to attack. So I liked that. I didn't feel like it took away from what he does. Like it's adding extra power and pressure when he's attacking somebody. He's, you know, to have an extra set of fangs to grab his victim to pull him in. It's not, you know, it's not like he was born with two small, like little baby mouths and, you know, we're going to enhance Squeeze and he's going to become the strongest of the snake or some ridiculous storyline, like what to do with Fisto, you know?
It does. It makes him look more intimidating.
It's not explained why he has mouths on his hands. It just looks cool, and I don't want to know why he's the only Snake Man that has mouths on his hands.
Yeah, it makes it more frightening, just the thought of it. Like you said, of him wrapping you up, not only wrapping you up, but then when he gets you, you know, he can even bite and sink into you. I mean, that makes it more scary. And then even with biting,
it makes him the deadliest of the Snake Men, in my opinion.
You don't want to touch him, like, you know?
Huh?
You don't even want to touch him because you're afraid to even get by him. I mean, not only getting wrapped, but getting bit by this hand, and even his mouth if he decides to bite you with his own face. It's like he's got three things coming at you. And a plus,
yeah, I mean, we're talking. I mean, I feel like when you're thinking of an anaconda, yeah, obviously aside from a king cobra or a rattlesnake, you know, an anaconda is the scariest, I think, of all the snakes. Of getting wrapping around you, crushing you, and then devouring you. I mean, and for Squeeze to be a walking, you know, running around anaconda, I'm like, what's more scary than that?
You wonder, does he have like a system that goes down and he can eat and suck and eat through here, eat through here, eat through here?
No, I think you're getting down into crazy fisto territory.
I ain't getting crazy fisto because that's
I just want space. One digestive tract through his head.
He's got three. That's it. Oh,
great. You must be writing stories for DC then.
All right. Well, give us, before we wrap the show up, why don't you give us a good episode of MYP? Recommend a good episode so fans can, like, I guess, go into something positive from this hate-filled review.
I'm going to recommend, from season one or season two. There tend to be more better episodes in season one. We've talked about Underworld. We've talked about Monster Within. I'm going to say Buzz Off's Pride, because I remember when it came out, it wasn't well received, and I didn't like it either, because like a lot of episodes, you know, it came on, I think right after, I forgot what episode it came after, but it was like, the following, it followed an episode that was really good, I think, from what I can remember. I may have to double check. But I didn't like it when it first came out. I thought it was because I felt like, why are we introducing three new giants? Where's Megator? You know, why don't I have a group of three Megators running around? I felt like, that's why I didn't like King Grayskull. However, I grew to like the three giants, Asdar, Belzdar. I forgot what it's A, B, and C giants. Like, their names start with A, B, and C. I'll have to look that up. But, I grew to like that episode when I got older, and it's like, you know what, I actually like this episode. I thought I liked the three giants. I liked seeing them part of the Council of Evil, and it was a good Buzz Off episode. I definitely appreciate it more as I got older. It's one of those, unfortunately, it doesn't work with all of them, because Web of Evil did not.
You can tell. Definitely. So Buzz Off's Pride.
I felt like, you know, if you didn't like when it first came out, or kind of remember it being like kind of a lackluster episode, give it another shot. You know, I think it's a lot better than what a lot of us remember.
All right. And Dirt, what do you have to say? Sounds like you wanted to say
something. Yeah. Zirek Imran in the chat room wants to know, what other lines do you guys collect besides Masters of the Universe?
Oh, well, me... The only other thing I've ever really collected was, I collected the Simpsons line when it came out in the early 2000s, and I like collecting Friday the 13th action figures of Jason Voorhees, so I never really had, I guess it's maybe money, just the thought of, there's things I'd like to collect. Sure, I would have liked to have gotten a lot more Thundercats and Sectars, but I basically just stuck with Masters, and if it wasn't Masters, it's just now Jason Voorhees figures and stuff, but that's mine, and I appreciate the question. What about you, T-Rex?
Currently it's just He-Man, but if money was an issue, I'd be buying on eBay all the time, because I still, if I come across them, I will buy them, especially in person, which would be Thundercats, Silverhawks, Bionic Six, Brave Star. You know, I do love G.I. Joe. I have a small G.I. Joe diorama back behind me over here. You know, I do have some of the vintage She-Ra figures, you know, of course, New Adventures, it speaks for itself. That's obvious. But, you know, Turtles, if I come across those, I collected a lot more of these when I was in high school and in college, because what money I did get, I didn't have responsibility. So I was spending every dime that I got. Like the summer I graduated from high school, I spent all my money on 2000X toys and anything else I could find on eBay, you know, going to flea markets and stuff like that. just buy. I still got more stuff. I just don't have room in here. But a lot of the big lines of the Yetis, I'm a big fan of. And if I come across them in person, I would love to purchase more. You know, Gray Star, Thundercat, Silverhawks, Bionic Six, Black Star, all that stuff. I have a great affinity for all the '80s toy lines. Even want like Dino Riders, Battle Beasts. I think those are great lines too. I wish I could collect more of those. You know,
I hear you.
Yeah, it's you know, all there's tons of great stuff. Like, you know, I'm a big collector of movie posters, vintage movie posters. Like in my other rooms, I've got, you know, original movie posters and stuff like that. So I'm a big movie memorabilia fan as well. NBA basketball, that's another thing that I like to collect when I can. But money's tight, you know, as it is for, I know, a lot of people and stuff like that. But sure, those are the things that I do like to collect. And when I come across something in person that I'd like to have, if money's right, then I'll go for it.
All right. Well, thanks for that question. So we appreciate them. Appreciate them both. But okay. Well, you gave your recommendation, Buzz Off's Pride. And as for me, I will always say go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com. And on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man is your ultimate fan group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
Murdoch, I'm coming to get you.